Perspectives, a weekly public affairs show which airs every Saturday and Sunday right here on KTEP. And joining us on Perspectives this afternoon is Felicia Johnson. Felicia is the author of the novel Her. It's a novel about a teenager, a girl who is diagnosed with borderline personality disorder. Felicia, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me on.
Now, this is something that a lot of people have talked about recently, and that is mental illness. But for the longest time, mental illness was almost like a taboo topic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What changed?
I think, you know, people speaking up more about mental illness, the need for mental health treatment. It's just on the rise now, especially with a lot of the violence and shootings that's been going on. People have been worried more and more about their children. And I think that's sort of been the eye-opener just with the media and everything that's been happening.
Now, what prompted you, Felicia, to write Her?
What made me want to write Her was just growing up myself dealing with, mental illness in my family. And I come from a background of child abuse, and when I was recovering and learning more about what had happened to me when I was a child, I kept journals, and writing was always my therapy. It helped me get through all the things I had been through, including the child abuse, and I had a friend, a best friend, her name was Holly, who actually committed suicide, and that was my first experience with that type of thing. And when Holly had died, I continued the journal. And this book, I wanted to sort of delve deeper into borderline personality disorder. That's what my friend Holly suffered from. And write a book that people can relate to. Not necessarily a textbook on the disorder, but a story so that people can relate to it and perhaps learn more about borderline personality disorder and help people who know someone who suffers with the disorder.
We are speaking with Felicia Johnson. She is the author of Her, a novel about a girl with borderline personality disorder. Felicia, when you were writing this book and you said you've kept a lot of journals, did you have any access to perhaps Holly's journals or something that Holly told you before all this happened?
No, I didn't have access to her journals, but we were best friends. We were very close. And, you know, we were both 15 years old. We both pretty much had similar backgrounds. We came from an abusive family, and we were both in treatment and recovery and learning how to deal with what had happened to us and learn how to cope. And, you know, Holly and I just over time began to share things with each other. And I started to sort of just pick up on certain things like her behaviors, and I couldn't really understand why she reacted or pushed me away and would draw me back in. And after her suicide, I wanted to learn more about why, you know, this had happened and what signs I should have looked out for and could continue to look out for. So I started studying psychology, and I actually work in mental health now. Just from that experience, I was moved to continue writing and study more about mental health.
Now, when you're dealing with mental health issues, sometimes it also is involved with someone who suffers from, let's say, chronic pain or some kind of chronic disease. Because of that, they get depressed, and sometimes they get anxious because perhaps their medication's not working or what other people may think, etc. So a lot of times, it's not just mental illness. People realize that, you know, they have a wrong picture, a dark picture, I think. When the word mental illness comes out there,
Yes. It
comes out as a very dark picture, you know, Renaissance age, Victorian age, etc. And that people are afraid to come forward. And what you write about in this book, you start to see more about children. And it's sad when you read these stories about children committing suicide. And yet, one of the things that, and I'm sure working in mental health, you deal with this, the fact that a lot of these medications say that some of the symptoms include thoughts of suicide.
Yeah. And what you were saying about how, you know, there are still people afraid to speak up, it's because there's a stigma on mental illness that we need to try to remove. I feel like if we can educate ourselves more on mental illness and mental health, and what we can do to, you know, help the people that we love and our friends and families, everyone around us, and even ourselves, I think the best thing we could do is educate ourselves and then talk about it. Share what you have experienced and what you learn. And then that will open discussions that will get more people to actually talk about it as well. And then they may feel like they have someone to relate to.
When it opens, we see it's a scene where the young lady, Kristen, has hurt herself, and her brother sees her. And, I mean, I can't imagine what her brother was thinking when he saw this, and everything just kind of turns around, and you immediately take the reader on a quick ride.
Yeah, and I wanted to start the book powerfully because I think all of us have experienced, you know, moments of depression and times where we just feel like things are just really hopeless. And with Kristen, the main character in the story, she tends to take her emotions to the extreme, and that's why the book sort of takes you on a roller coaster ride from her mental breakdown, which is where we start, and the scene you had described, her attempted suicide, to her treatment, because, of course, you know, she did not succeed in her suicide attempt, and then to eventually her recovery. So it is a story of hope, although, you know, it takes a lot. The reader is taken through a roller coaster ride before you actually see a change in her mind from that mental breakdown that she had.
Our guest is Felicia Johnson. She is the author of the book Her. It's a novel about a girl who suffers from borderline personality disorders. And she also writes about other mental issues also, because this young lady has to go in for treatment. And that's another thing that I wanted you to describe. Describe the scene, Felicia, of Kristen being in the hospital where her mother's in there and talking to her. And her mother almost sounds like, you know, she's angry at her, but at the same time, it seems like the mother doesn't seem very empathetic.
Yeah, it's hard when you have a loved one who is suffering from mental illness. Kristen's mother in the story, you know, this is a hard blow to her. She almost lost her child, and it was very unexpected. And she, in the beginning, no, she's not very empathetic because she just doesn't understand. And she's hurting herself. You know, it's hurtful to see someone you love in so much pain. And that's pretty much what her mother is experiencing at that point. Of course, Kristen is just, you know, she failed to hurt herself like she had wanted to, and she's frustrated and angry herself. So, of course, there's going to be a lot of clashing between the two of them.
Now, when you say that the mother is confused, I think that's a key word there, because education needs to be promoted a lot more.
Right.
And I think because of what you said before, the stigma, people sweep it under the rug.
Right.
And then sometimes the worst thing that you can tell somebody who is suffering from depression or hurting is just snap out of it. You know,
right.
It's going to get out of it. And they don't understand what's going on because you can't see pain. You can't see the depression, the pain that they're experiencing in their minds. Their mind's going 90 miles an hour and seeing other things.
Yes.
So would you agree that more education needs to be done, or are we doing okay? Because you work in the mental health area.
I definitely think that education is a big way to get rid of stigma. I think that once people open their minds and open their hearts and not wait for something extreme to happen, like in this story, for the mother to actually start asking questions and paying attention to her child after Kristen ends up in the hospital after an attempted suicide. We shouldn't wait until things get that extreme to talk about it. I think right now is a good time to talk about it. And that's why I hope that this book can reach, you know, more people, because this book can be an example to open up discussions and open people's eyes to see that this is real. This is based off of real life.
We are speaking with Felicia Johnson, the author of Her. Her is a book about mental illness. It's about Kristen, a girl who was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder. We have talked about borderline personality disorder, but we haven't really gone into detail as to what
right.
that is. Could you tell us, Felicia?
Sure. Borderline personality disorder, a person who's suffering, could suffer with a pervasive pattern of instability in their interpersonal relationships, their self-image, affects. And some of the symptoms that they may experience could be some suicidal behavior, like Kristen, the main character in the story. And then there's chronic feelings of emptiness, feelings of abandonment, whether it's real or imagined. And so borderlines can tend to take these emotions to the extreme. And in the story, Kristen, you know, you sort of get into her mind. And I wanted to write the story to take a person into the mind of someone who's suffering with mental illness. So when you're reading, you may feel like you're going a little crazy. You may not really trust what Kristen is thinking because it's actually told from her point of view. So I think that the book sort of helped understand more what a person who's suffering with mental illness, namely borderline personality disorder, what they're thinking, what they're going through, and how they're feeling.
Just the way you described it is something that is frightening in itself. But when Kristen gets transferred from the hospital to the treatment rehab center, all of a sudden, you know, she's surrounded by new people, people that she doesn't know, you know, that young man who's looking at her and who has the multiple personality disorder, the young man.
There is a character with multiple personalities.
Okay.
There are a lot of characters.
Yes.
With their own sets of mental illnesses in the book.
When she's in there and all of a sudden they say, you know, let's get in a circle, and they start talking to each other, and she realizes that there's a lot of people there who may be like her, but in some cases worse off than her.
Yes. You know, she has to learn that. She has a roommate who suffers with bulimia, and she makes friends with a guy named Daniel who has major depression. So she starts to learn that she is not alone by opening up in discussions and asking questions and becoming more social.
Sometimes parents need to be educated about this as well because,
absolutely.
Okay, they think, well, she'll be in there for a couple of weeks or a couple of months and then she'll be okay. And then if they're not
right.
Okay, they start their pattern of yelling at the child or telling them, you know, you want to go back to where you were or you're crazy and all
right.
this stuff. And the child is like, what is going on? And they think, am I going to be like this the rest of my life?
Right. There is a fear of that isolation and loneliness. Am I going to continue to just be ill? Is this going to be my label? You know, and I think it's the parents' job to educate themselves and go to group meetings and be there to support their kid and learn about what their child is going through so that they can know what not to say. I mean, we don't always know what to say. And I think it's important to tell people right now that it's okay to not know what to say, but it's best that you know what not to say at least.
It's interesting that recently we have started seeing a lot of young children and especially young girls who are into cutting and,
mm-hmm.
and just not to actually commit suicide, but they feel this euphoria and they feel like they need that.
Yes, people self-harm for many reasons. And the main character, Kristen, she cuts for several reasons. She cuts to escape reality. She cuts to what she says, breathe. And when she starts to feel numb inside, she cuts so that she can feel something. And she carries a little pendant with her that's shaped like a butterfly, and she calls it Mr. Sharp, who turns into an imaginary friend. He sort of materializes as a figure, like an entity, that's around her, and that's what cutting is. It's an addiction, and it can take many forms. And in the story, that's why she self-harms, to sort of escape and be able to talk to her imaginary friend.
I'm glad you mentioned Mr. Sharp because that's where I was going to go next. And we are visiting with Felicia Johnson. She is the author of the novel Her, about Kristen, a girl who has been diagnosed with borderline personality disorder. But Felicia also addresses other mental issues among young people in this book. Now, you just were talking about her imaginary friend, Mr. Sharp. Tell us about how you developed this, because, you know, as you mentioned, you want to start really strong, and you did, and you start kind of in the middle and then take us back and forth, like the mind of the child. And developing a character like this, was that difficult?
Yes, Mr. Sharp was very scary. But what I wanted to do is, when I was writing Mr. Sharp, I didn't want to just write about this girl cutting. It is a story. I mean, not everyone who has borderline personality to sort of see images and things that they don't want to see. I had to give him a face, sort of a way of speaking to her so that the readers can understand this dialogue that goes on in her head. Mr. Sharp is just a figure, an entity, the other part of her mind that speaks to her and tells her negative things that aren't true, whether it's, you know, that she's a loser, or she needs to cut in order to breathe. These are things that she tells herself. But giving it another voice, another face, makes it easier for the readers to sort of maybe relate to or understand.
As far as what you'd say about therapy, and you said that you used to journal to get away from that. Some people draw, other people write poetry, and you start off your book with a poem. Is this part of Kristen's therapy as well?
Yes, Kristen writes journals, and she just writes poetry. It's a way for her to cope, and, you know, she hadn't really thought to dive into it more, you know, to put the cutting aside and actually write more. And I think that that element was written to help her with her recovery, because in the story, you see, she begins to write more instead of cutting more. She pushes Mr. Sharp to the side more so that she can learn to learn different ways of coping and dealing, besides telling herself negative things and spending time with Mr. Sharp and self-harming.
Do you mind if I read this short poem that you open with?
Sure.
Okay. Her by Kristen Elliott. Her cries could be heard. Her smiles were seen. Couldn't be noticed. Her ways would have been tamed by just the right hand. To touch her soul, to heal her mind, her heart would have desired. The way she called out drew them away. They could never understand her tears, her fears, her pain. Her mind held on to them. Her hand tried to hold on. There is a way to save her. So that last line there signifies that there is hope. And as you mentioned, there's hope for everybody, and not just the parents, the family, relatives, but the general public needs to be educated about mental illness as well, because if they encounter somebody who is suffering from mental illness and they'll just say, this guy is weird, or, you know, look at the way they're acting, etc., and especially somebody who you may know, who you work with, goes to school with you, etc.
Right. I think that everybody should be open to some form of education when it comes to mental illness. And we all know someone, it could be ourselves as well. But when it comes to somebody that we love, somebody that we want to just be okay, so to say, it's easy to be in denial. It's easy to, I guess, sort of sweep it under the rug rather than actually deal with it and talk about it. But what you want to do is educate yourself so that you can talk about it, so that you can understand and not even want to run away from it before something very dramatic and drastic happens.
Mental illness is something that for many years, as you and I have both talked about, it was hidden. It was brushed under the rug, even people who are mentally handicapped. Now it's starting to come out as you write in your book. And so the question remains, some people ask, well, can my child be cured of this? Are they going to have it forever? And I guess the answer is yes and no.
I think that with work and, you know, again, the education, there are ways of learning how to cope and how to deal. There are people who are cured. There are people who get over their symptoms completely. It's just a matter of working at it and knowing what you're dealing with and not ignoring it or denying it and not shaming people who are mentally ill or families and loved ones of those who are mentally ill. I think shame is a big part of why people are in denial, because they don't want to feel that. They don't want to dig deeper into what they're afraid of.
We are speaking with Felicia Johnson. She is the author of the novel Her, a story about Kristen, a young lady who is diagnosed with borderline personality disorder. Felicia, you work in mental health. Do you work primarily with young people?
I do. I am a youth mentor and an advocate for child abuse survivors. And I work with children at Youth Villages in Our Harbor. That's an inpatient treatment center here in Georgia for troubled youth who've dealt with all types of abuse. Some children are in the system, and they're just kids there who are having a hard time in their daily lives. And, you know, they really depend on mentors and, you know, counselors to, you know, be that guiding support for them.
You mentioned doctors, and in your book, there is a character, Dr. Kuvo. And when he first meets Kristen, or Kristen meets him, they don't exactly hit it off.
No, there's a bit of resistance from Kristen, only because she's still angry that she didn't succeed in trying to hurt herself. But, you know, eventually she begins to educate herself on what's going on with her, and she starts to learn more.
Now, what should parents learn from this? What are some of the warning signs they should look out for? Because sometimes those signs may go ignored, or the child will not acknowledge anything because, as you said, fear of shame or fear of being ostracized. So what are some of the things that a parent should look out for?
Well, I think that, you know, dialogue should always be open, you know, especially about self-harm and isolation and the feelings of loneliness. I think as a teenager, you go through a lot of things, but you feel so alone and you feel like you're the only one going through this worst, horrible, terrible thing. I think it's important for parents to pay attention when their kids are not speaking up, or when they ask them a question, the kid just, you know, sort of brushes it aside like it's no big deal. I think that's where you should start. Opening communication.
We also are starting to see adults and celebrities coming out and talking about mental illness. And one of those is one of your fellow Georgians, and that is a great athlete, Herschel Walker, who has talked about the fact that he suffered from this anxiety disorder. And you're thinking, how could someone who played in front of, you know, thousands of people have this mental illness?
Yeah, I mean, it's all of us. And I think it's great that more and more people are speaking out, especially celebrities. It's important because kids will hear this and they'll say, whoa, wait, I know exactly what he's talking about. I felt the same way plenty of times. Also, Brandon Marshall actually talked about his suffering with borderline personality disorder, BPD. So I remember I felt very inspired and just a lot of hope inside of me when I saw him speaking on his special when he was talking about that.
We are speaking with Felicia Johnson. She is the author of the novel Her, a book about borderline personality, a teenager who suffers from that. And also you meet other teenagers who are suffering from mental illness. Is there a specific target audience? Some people will say, well, you know, I don't want to read about mental illness. I'm not interested in that. But this is, it's hard to describe, but it's a thriller, I guess you could call it, an autobiographical thriller. And would you recommend this for young people to read?
I do recommend it for young people, but actually when I was writing the book, I had the audience in mind of someone who was like me, family, a friend, a loved one of someone who's suffering. I didn't always know what to say to my friend Holly, and to this day I don't know if I said the wrong things or not, but I wrote this book, and when you open past the first page, it says for Holly. And I wrote it for people who may know someone suffering, who don't know what to say, who is standing on the outside looking at the person that they love and don't really know how this person is feeling. They don't know what they're thinking or why they're behaving the way they do. I wanted this book to be just a message of hope, to show that no matter how much suffering that person you love or care about is going through, that there is hope and you can help them. They are listening.
And there are speed bumps in life. And you mentioned Kristen. She writes about the fact that we used to be a happy family. That was for the first few years we lived in Georgia, and all of a sudden things started to change dramatically. So people need to be on the lookout for things like this. And as you mentioned in your book, though, there is hope. And you do take us on a roller coaster ride. You start different. You start in the middle and then take us, I guess, to the beginning, then to the end. But it is a ride.
Yes, to say the least. We're hoping to be able to make it into a movie. We actually have a script right now. And for those people who don't really read, it is kind of a thick book, but I've been told it's a very fast read.
It is.
People have told me they've read it in one sitting. But we're starting on trying to raise funds now and get producers interested in the film. But Tanina Kelly was the amazing award-winning screenwriter to actually turn this book into a film adaptation. And so she actually wrote the book trailers. We have two book trailers on the website, herthebook.com. So sort of a prequel to what we could expect if we do get to actually turn it into a film.
We are speaking with Felicia Johnson. She is the author of the novel Her. It's about Kristen, a young lady who is diagnosed with borderline personality disorder, and we also learn more about mental health issues. And this is not an academic type book. It's not a book that's going to have you looking up a lot of things. It's a novel. It's an easy read. And could you give us that website again that people can go to find out more about the book, please?
Sure. It's www.herthebook.com, all one word, herthebook.com.
The website again is herthebook.com. We are visiting with Felicia Johnson. She has been our guest this afternoon. She is the author of the novel Her, about a girl with a borderline personality disorder, and the book is available online. You download it to your Kindle as well. And is there an audio version available as well?
We're actually working on that.
Well, Felicia, thank you very much for being with us here this afternoon.
Thank you so much for having me.
And you have a great day. Thank you.
You too. Take care.
Our guest has been Felicia Johnson, the author of Her, a novel about a young lady, Kristen, who is diagnosed with borderline personality disorder. You've been tuned to Perspectives. Perspectives is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Norma Martinez. We had help from June Urbina. Our producer is Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Perspectives. I'm Luis Sainz.